Morning. This morning's scripture reading will be coming from the third chapter of John, verses 1 through 21. I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to him by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them." Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak that which we know and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and that men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God."
What powerful, powerful scriptures as we peer into the very mind of God. Grateful for us being here on this morning as we worship God in spirit and in truth. And I want us to look at this text, and I want us to take focus on verses 14 through verse number 17. The reason why I wanted us to look at this particular passage of scripture as we consider our theme for this year, ready to give answer. And as we look at the month of February, we're going to be taking this particular theme from the vantage point of love. Because love is the foundation. As a matter of fact, if we was to tell people the truth, but don't speak it in love, it's a violation of the will of God. But the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 4, verse number 15, to speak the truth in love. Love is not only an attitude, but it is an action. And this is why when I considered this particular text, I thought about John, and I thought about how John picks up on the very life of Jesus Christ. And how in John chapter 1, Jesus himself said, "In the beginning was the Word." Jesus is the Word incarnate. You look at verse number 14 of John chapter 1, and we see there that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. We think about this God. Think about this Jesus Christ and the power of him and the power of his words. And friends, Jesus does have power. The words that he spoke has power. The words that he spoke are not his own words, but he said in John 12 and verse number 47 and 48 that I speak my Father's words. So Jesus came to do the will of his Father. He came to speak the words of his Father. And when we think about this great God and think about what he has done, no wonder when we think of verse number 18 of John chapter 1, it is Jesus who came to declare our Father. We wouldn't even know who God is or was, or who is rather, unless Jesus came down to show us who he is. John chapter 2, we understand that Jesus goes into his ministry and he does this great miracle of changing water into wine. But he did that for his disciples to believe. No wonder that is directly in line with Mark 16 and verse 20. One of the purposes of miracles was to confirm the word of God. Friends, it's powerful when we think about this great man, Jesus Christ. So we come across this great conversation between him and Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a teacher of the law. He should have known the law. As a matter of fact, Jesus even told him, you are a teacher of the law and you don't know these things? But why would he say that? Because he's talking about the new birth. He's talking about how to get into the kingdom of God. Jesus, even though when he spoke these things were not going to go into effect, Brother Nate, until after he died on the cross and the church had begun. But he was teaching a New Testament teaching even under the old system. The reason why we know that, because we can see this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. Now, I said all that to say this. Jesus, as he is talking to this great man, this man of God, Nicodemus, he talks about this new birth and how to get into him, how to get into the kingdom of God, how to get into the Lord's church, his church. And then he says in verse number 14, as we look at this particular passage, he brings up Moses and the serpent. You ask yourself, why would he talk to Nicodemus about this? What does this have to do with love? What does this have to do with love that produces life? Well, let's find out. Notice in verse 14 what the Bible says in John chapter 3. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man shall be lifted up. Friends, notice what Jesus brings up. He brings up the serpent and Moses in the wilderness. Turn your Bibles to Numbers chapter 21. As we take a quick glance at this, I want us to take notice of some things. Why would Jesus, as he is talking to Nicodemus, a ruler, pull from this particular section of scripture? Nicodemus would know about the serpent that was raised up in the wilderness. He would know about Moses, the great lawgiver, the one who did exactly what God told him to do in order for the children of Israel who had complained because of discouragement against Moses and against God. What took place? Well, the Bible teaches us that as they were complaining in verse number 3 and in verse number 4, we see that they were discouraged. Verse number 5, they began to speak against God. And they begin to say that there's no food, there's no water. Our soul loathes this worthless bread. Hold on. They were complaining against Almighty God. They were complaining against the one who loved them so much that when he heard their cries and heard their groanings, according to Exodus chapter 3, verses 21 through 24, he loved them so much, I'm going to bring them up out of Egypt, out of bondage, and I'm going to give them some safety. I'm going to take them to the promised land, and I'm going to do it by the way of Moses. And bring them out, and my people are complaining, not only against me, but they're complaining against my man, Moses. God had some serpents to come and to bite the people of God. Some of them even died because of these snake bites. They cried out to Moses, and Moses cries out to God, and God tells Moses to take a serpent, a bronze serpent, and put it on a pole and raise it up, and everyone who looks upon it will be healed. Jesus pulls from this. You know, sometimes we have our religious friends and they go to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe in him should not perish. Hold on. Why did Jesus pull from Numbers chapter 21 verses 1 through 8? Why did he pull from that? Because the people of God had sinned and they needed some type of deliverance, some type of healing, something to make them whole. Something to bring them back into fellowship with who loved them. That's God. So Moses makes this brazen serpent. He puts it on a pole. And the ones that looked at it, they were healed. Go back to John 3. This is what Jesus pulls from. You know, when we are properly dividing the word of God, when we are properly exegeting the scriptures, when we are properly looking at the text, we want to see, why did this individual say this? Where are they pulling from? Jesus pulls from this, and he is telling Nicodemus that just as Moses was lifted up in the, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Hold on, there's a contrast going on here. See, Brother Ventura, we can't even talk about love until we talk about the background first. Why is this so important? Now, hold on. Here we have a righteous man, Brother Pope Joy, as he lifts up a serpent, the serpents that were biting the people. He lifts that up, and God said they need to look at that in order to be healed. Why? Because that's what God said. A righteous man lifting up a serpent. You think of a serpent, you think of something that is negative and bad and evil. You lift that up, and the people look at that, they'll be saved, they'll be healed. But here, we have an oxymoron. Now we have a righteous man being lifted up by wicked people. Oh, that's good teaching right there. It's good teaching. Did y'all see that? Here we have something that's just been switched. Here we have the righteous man in the wilderness lifting up a serpent that's wicked. Y'all look at it. Here we have the wicked people who's going to be lifting up the righteous. That's Jesus. Oh, friends, you think about this. Jesus said this. This is what's going to happen. Even so, the Son of Man shall be lifted up. Notice what he says in verse number 15. The latter part of it. He says that whosoever believes in him, who's the him, the one that's lifted up, should not perish, meaning shall not die, but have eternal life, healing, made whole, safety, security, wholeness. Existence. Existence with who? Existence with God. Verse 16. For God so loved. Here it is. Oh, Jesus, why are you saying this? Why are you telling Nicodemus? He ain't talking to everybody else for us. He's talking to Nicodemus. We're just privileged to get in on the conversation some 2,000 years later. We get in on this conversation. And Jesus said, for God so loved the world. Hold on. God so loved. The idea of love there is affection. It's an affection with an attitude. Affection with an attitude based upon a decision. But it's not only an affection with an attitude based upon decision, it is also an emotion. God had emotion toward man, but yet God had affection toward man. God made a decision for the man. But hold on, what's love? What's this love that God is talking about, that Jesus is talking about? Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Y'all already know where I'm going. And as you're going there, let me give you something to chew on. Bible teaches us in 1 John 4 and verse 8 that God is love. Okay? See, the very essence of God is love. In Ezekiel Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse number 7, the Bible teaches us that God is abundant in love. So God is love. God is abundant in love. 1 John 4 and verse 18. We can't even know what God is unless we know what love is, and we can't even love our brethren unless we know what love is, and God is love. He loved us before we loved him. Love. Well, what is love? Notice 1 Corinthians 13. All this will make sense in a minute, because when we consider this love that produces life, we consider who God is, and we consider giving people an answer when they ask us a biblical question. We need to make sure that our hearts are steeped, saturated with love. Well, we're not just trying to win an argument. As a matter of fact, we shouldn't even be trying to win an argument. We ought to be trying to win a soul. Win the soul. Win the soul for God. Notice 1 Corinthians 13. In 1 Corinthians 13, starting in verse verse 2. Notice what the Bible there has to say. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Paul, why are you saying this? Well, I'm saying it by inspiration. Number two, I'm saying this to a group of people, the Corinthians, who were struggling with love, who were struggling, who had a desire for these spiritual gifts. They wanted to be seen, Brother Braswell, but if anything, they should have been wanted to be seen for the love that they had one for another. But notice what he says in verse number four, love suffers long. I was looking at this and in preparation for these thoughts this morning, I was thinking, wow, all of the things we're about to read are a direct correlation to Jehovah. You think about for God so loved that he suffered long. For God so loved that he was kind. Hold on. The giving of Jesus is a kind act. The giving of Jesus is an act of long suffering. I'm going to put up with the people who sinned against me, just like the people of God who sinned against God in the wilderness, and God came up with a plan in order to heal them. God is now coming up with a plan to heal us. To heal us. Does not envy. Love does not parade itself. God will never parade himself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek his own. It's not about me. Even though God gave his son, and it seems as if all of this plan was about God, no, the plan was about us. God didn't need saving. Man did. It's amazing. People say sometimes, you know what, man? Yeah, I found the Lord. The Lord wasn't lost. We were. I'll let y'all ponder that as you drive home today. We can't find Jesus. Jesus, we know where he is. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. We know where God is. He never moves. He's always on his throne. Notice, it's not about God. Does not behave itself rudely. Does not think evil. Does not seek his own, rather. Is not provoked. Does not think evil, does not rejoice in iniquity. I thought about this in Ezekiel 18 and verse number 32. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. All of these things we need to take into consideration. As Jesus said, for God so loved the world. God had all of these characteristics, all of these things that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Notice what he goes on to say, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never fails. All of that is in Jesus' statement as he is talking to Nicodemus, and he says, for God so loved the world, the people, the inhabitants of the land, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. You know what I get out of John chapter 3 and verse 16? There is no reason for a child of God to ever be lost. Amen. There is no reason for anyone in the world to be lost. Why? God has made provision for everyone who has been bitten by sin from the venom of sin. Is that right, Brother Nate? Venom? Yeah, venom. You know what venom does? It will kill you. You know, I was looking on Facebook the other day and they had this snake pit and a whole bunch of rattlesnakes in it. And they had a GoPro going in there. You notice he didn't go in there. He had the GoPro going there. It's in there attacking the GoPro. Attacking the GoPro. You know, in life, sin attacks us. It attacks people and puts venom in their heart, in their mind. It causes them to want to go astray and be angry and upset and mad and disturbed. And for God so loved the world. He wants to rid the venom. And sometimes even children of God get bit by sin and we become venomous. Attack it. Brother Brian and I was talking yesterday. We were talking about how Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16 to be wise as serpent, harmless as dove. You think about a serpent, he feels an attack, and when you get close, he strikes. Sometimes you got brethren, they always striking. No, there's a time to strike. Really, God wants us to be lambs. And at times you need to strike to get people off of you and then they can go about their way. You see? God's people are not always striking. We strike at the right time. It's strategic. You think about what God is saying here, what Jesus is saying here, for God so loved the world that he gave, and that's the key. Now, you think about this, friends. God so loved the world, he gave. Peter said, be ready to give. Hold on. Because God so loved, he gave. Our love for God and our love for mankind ought to put us in a position to give them truth, not venom. Even though I see the situation you're in, and I understand that this is a dreadful situation, you're hurting, I understand that. I understand what's going on in your life. Even though I might not be able to relate, I understand. Let's use God's word and help you. You know, God did not leave man in sin. He gave them something to look forward to, everlasting life. Now, let's make this point. A love that produces life. God's love always produces life. Look at Romans 5. Let's show you this. It's amazing God did not wait for us to get right in order to give us a plan to get right. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8 and following, God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Christ died. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Here it is. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God so loved us, he gave his son. His son gave his life. But hold on, he taught us how to live before he died. You know what that teaches us? That the love that God has for us, we ought to be demonstrating it and transmitting it and transferring it to others that they may have life too. There is power in the tongue. If our source is God and God is in our hearts and saturates our minds, we ought to be able to distribute that to other people. Just because man doesn't understand the love of God doesn't mean that God's love is not powerful. Some of us struggle with being loved. I understand. Some of us believe we don't deserve love. I understand that too. But the problem with that thought process is that God thinks differently. So it doesn't matter, Brother Nate, what people think about you. This is what matters. What does God think about me? If my life is a wreck, then I need to make sure that I get my life right with God so God can have the right thoughts about me. And when I do that, then I can be able to distribute that to other people. It's when I walk into a building and people see me, hopefully people light up. It's not when I walk out, people light up. Y'all smile. Right? Sometimes the room gets brighter depending on who walks in and who walks out. But you think about the love of God and the love that God has for us. Look at John 3. I'll get you out here in about 48 minutes. Notice what he says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, the only one of its kind, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. A love that produces existence, life. Jesus, what are you talking about? What is this love you're talking about? I'm talking about the cross. Jesus was talking about being put on a cross. And as the serpent was put on a pole, Jesus was put on a cross. When you think about Jesus on the cross, think about the love of God. And no wonder Jesus could teach for us to bear our cross. to deny ourselves and take up our cross. And in taking up our cross, friends, we demonstrate the love of God in us, and we teach other people about bearing the cross. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and following, we understand that when we suffer in the flesh, we cease from sin. When we bear our cross, we bear our burdens, we say no to our desires and lust. We say no to those things. Why? Because we're taking our cross up. We're lifting it up high. Why? Because we want people to see Christ living in us, the hope of glory. That's a love that produces life. And this is why when we demonstrate God's love and put God's word in our hearts, we begin to teach that to other people. We demonstrate that to our children. We're patient with them. We comfort them. We exhort them. We punish them. We spank them. We help them. Why? We want to give them life. Why? Because we want to show them the cross, which teaches us that when I love God, I love life. I see why people want to take their lives. They don't love God. God gave life. He wants us to do something with it. Father, what do you want us to do with it? I want you to lift up that cross. Lift up the cross in your heart. Choose your words wisely. Encourage people. Get people to see that they can do all things through Christ who empowers them. We can be faithful to God, right? The Bible teaches us that. We can overcome anything, any struggle. I don't care what your struggle is. You think about the struggle you have right now, and you think about the love God had for you, and while you was a sinner, Christ died for you. And you can overcome it. And then you can turn around and be like what Jesus told Peter, when you are converted, strengthen your brother. I've been there, I've done that. I know how it is to engage in that. Let me help you out of it. Which means that bearing my cross, I can't look at me. I got to keep Jesus in my focal point. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, we understand that Jesus is in our scope. We set our affections upon Jesus. We set our eyes upon Jesus. We keep everything on him. For God so loved the world that he gave. You know what that also teaches us? Last point. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, start verse number 4 and 5, with the focal point of verse number 5. You know why the Macedonian brethren could help the Apostle Paul? Because they first gave themselves to the Lord. They loved the Lord. Paul, we don't have much, but we're going to give you what we got. We want that gospel to get out there. We want people to be encouraged and helped. We want the truth to go out there. And that's why we give the way we do. We want people to hear the truth, and it takes money to do that. Amen. But it also takes us coming together to do that. We struggle with one another. We help one another. We love one another. We give life to one another. That's why we choose our words. Why you keep saying that, Brother Barnum? Because we don't understand the power of our words. Life and death is in the tongue. How are your words this morning? Are you speaking life to people or death? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Jesus, why are you telling Nicodemus this? Because Nicodemus, he's a teacher of the law. He knew about these things. And Nicodemus, since I know you're going to know the truth, you're going to go teach somebody else what they need to do in order to enter the kingdom of God. And that's the key, getting inside the kingdom. Question, are you in the kingdom? I didn't say a kingdom. There are two kingdoms. It's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Which one are you in? The gospel teaches us that we're going to be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Colossians chapter 3. What was that? Colossians 1. Thank you. You need to speak up. If I'm wrong, I don't want to be speaking no false doctrine up here. That's important. Those of us who are in the kingdom of God, because God has demonstrated that love toward us, Because we have received that love, we want to be able to distribute that love to other people. We want them to know that we are Christians. We are followers of God. We are followers of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we're going to produce love in our hearts, which only comes from the gospel, which only comes from God, which is going to produce life. We want to be positive. So we want to teach people the gospel. We want to teach people about that cross, the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Can you imagine Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, Brother Braswell, and he's already talking about his cross? He knew why he came. Do you know why you have been baptized? If you're not a child of God, do you know why you need to be baptized? Yeah, to have your sins washed away. Yeah, to come into a relationship with God, but also to bear your cross. Bear your cross. Take a beating for the Lord. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Let's take a beating for them. It'll be okay. We have something to look forward to, Brother Ventura. Eternal life. So if you're not a child of God, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're a child of God and you don't think life. Young parents, teach your children life. Meaning, teach them the cross. Teach them about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Teach them about the kingdom of God, the one church. Teach them how they ought to have the right attitude. Teach them that they don't need to be talking back to you. You teach them that. Why? That's life. The people of God in the Old Testament was exasperating God. Sometimes when our children talk back, it exasperates us. It's a big word that says, man, it just causes us to almost cringe. Amen. Y'all looking funny, but it still's right. God was good to Israel. And God was saying, hey, I've been good to you. Only thing I need you to do is be good to me. You know, God has been good to us. Why? He has given us life. Not just physical life, but eternal life. Teach your children that. Teach them to love God. Teach them to read the Bibles. So when someone at school asks them, why don't you cuss around us? God doesn't want me to. They don't have to use no scripture. Only thing they have to say is God doesn't want me to. They're only in the third grade. That's enough. Right? Yes. We teach our children that. And we teach them that we go to worship. Why? Because we love God and we want to encourage the brethren. That's why we come here. So we can go out and we can be life to other people. Friends, we don't have to wait for eternal life. We have it already. And when you die, you get life with God without this flesh. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.